full of passion. That's how he made you. Just let it happen. You're full of life now. Full of passion. That's how he made you. Just let it happen. And you call each one of us by our names to come away, and he whispers to your heart to let it go and to be alive. Yeah, he calls each one of us.
Good evening, good evening. Last night was amazing, so we're expecting some amazing things tonight, amen. Can you stand and worship with us?
Can't Worship a God that is right beside us by any given moment we ask or when we need it. Sometimes we don't. We feel like sometimes we can handle things all by ourselves and we think we can do this job over here by ourselves, but then later on we come over here and we're like, I need help, but I can't get help by living here and trying to live here too. We need to take a step here in one spot because God is faithful. Faithful. There's so many times in life that we fail and we struggle to thrive and just we get so confused and lost. I'm like, what are we supposed to do? That's why we worship Jesus every day of every second. It's not come to church Sunday, worship him there. Monday, we go live life somewhere else. Because I feel that a lot of us tend to Sunday, let's go to church and worship Jesus. But during the week, it's live life with your friends and not focus on the one true God that there is. That's why we worship Jesus and we read the word. And we learn and we go preach the gospel more and more. Because he loves us and he wants us to go do his work. Not our work, his work. That's why we worship and we praise and we learn and we go. All my words fall short. I've got nothing. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king. Except for heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. got just one room with my arms stretched wide. I will worship you. Oh, so I throw up my hands and praise you again and again.
Oh, come on, we can do better than that. There's a lion inside of those lungs. The Bible says that he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Do you know what Judah means? Judah means praise. Judah means praise. There's a lion of praise inside of you. So would you open up your lungs right now in this moment, and would you begin to release a praise to the King? Would you begin to release a shout to mighty King Jesus, the one who sits on the throne, the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Come on, sing that chorus out again. Hallelujah. Jesus, we worship you tonight. Jesus, we lift lift up your name tonight. Come on, sing it.
Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song.
Open up your mouth and tell the Lord how much you love Him right now in this moment. Just begin to let praises arise from deep within you. Let the Holy Spirit begin to stir you. Let those rivers of living water begin to flow. Let that praise bubble up from deep within your soul. Come on, just right where you are. Shanda babaye, sanda rasanda babaye, kura sanda baba shanda bamalaye, heniniya shanda bara sanda babaye. Jesus, we love you, we love you, we love you. Jesus, we praise you, we praise you. Oh, we glorify your name. Nobody like you, Lord. Mighty King Jesus, the one who has won it all. Conquered sin, death, and the grave. So we lift up your name. Shedarasanda babaye. Hallelujah, hallelujah, holy, 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 holy are you, Lord. Worthy, worthy, worthy is your name.
Sing it again.
Jesus. Oh, my yes, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a
God, one more mighty big hand of praise. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We magnify your name. God, we lift you up tonight. And Lord, we ask that you would move in a mighty and powerful way. Would you come, God, tonight? Would you heal and deliver and save? Lord, would you set us free? God, we lift up the name of Jesus over every circumstance. Over every chain that must be broken. God, over every problem, over every issue, we declare that you reign victorious. We open up our hearts tonight and we say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You can be seated in God's house. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm believing for great things to happen. We had a powerful night last night. we know that we need three things. We need obedience, we need faith, and we need availability. And we want to bring those things into our lives so that we can see revival in us that starts with us right here in this house and spreads out to our community. I'm so glad to see other ministers in the house tonight. Woody Baker from The Gathering Place, Jonathan Smith from Ahoskie Christian Center, Pastor Randy and Mitzi from Assembly of Praise, Pastor Sandy from New Vision in Murfreesboro. If there are any other ministers in the house, you can just wave at me. Pastor Carlton, good to see you both. So glad to see you all in the house tonight. And I see another brother back here. So glad to see you. Where are you from, brother? I can't even see you. I'm blinded by these lights. Pastor Dan, so glad that this is my former boss, y'all. So I'm in trouble now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we're believing for good things. Pastor Lisa, we're so glad to have you tonight. We're so glad to have you back. And without further ado, we want to welcome you forward. Would you just give her a mighty big hand? She's come all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina, Multiplied Church Español, and we are so glad to have you tonight.
Amen. Praise God. How many of you feel the presence of the Lord in this place? How many of you thank God for that worship team that just flowed in that anointing? Amen. Praise God. I know that it was an awesome time last night, and we're just so excited to be here. We drove about 4 hours. We're from the area of Charlotte, the city of Concord, and we're there for the last 12 years. Actually, tomorrow we celebrate 12 years as a church. 12 years ago, we opened up our doors under the covering and the support of Pastor Rick Ross at the time, and now Pastor Doug Wither up at Multiply Church. And my husband, Pastor Joe, and I, we came from up north. I don't know if there's any New Yorkers here or halfbacks or whatever you want to call us, because we were in Florida, then we went to New York, and then we stopped halfway back down. But we're so thankful to the Lord for his goodness and for his favor and for his anointing and for his strength. And so this evening, I know that the Lord has a word for our lives. Amen? Do you believe it? Because I don't believe in coming to church just to come to church. I believe that if we come, it is for the purpose of receiving God's word so that we in turn can give it to somebody else. Amen? So tonight, I would like to for us to open, trying to get this iPad here to cooperate. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus. And tonight I want to talk to you, and I want to start with the question, what's the difference? What's the difference? Exodus 33, verse 16. The NIV says, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me? This is Moses speaking to God. And with your people, unless you go with us. He continues asking him, what else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? What's the difference? Father, we thank you for your goodness. And we thank you, Lord, for that mighty word last night and for your presence in our midst. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would continue, Holy Spirit, to flow in that anointing. That anointing that breaks the yoke. Oh God, we need you and we need your spirit and your anointing in our lives. So speak, Lord God. Our hearts are open. Remove all the distractions. All of the thoughts that want to clutter our minds from receiving what you have for us today. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Just want to say I'm thankful for Pastor Wallace and Joy. I love them and I'm thankful for their lives and their ministry here in this church. Would you give the Lord a clap offering and thank the Lord for your pastors? You know, our church, tomorrow we're also concluding our 21 days of prayer. We have just been so blessed gathering together for 3 weeks now. And as we are in this first month of January, my prayer this evening is for a breakthrough word. My prayer this evening is for an encouraging word. My prayer this evening is for a healing word. And so our story this evening begins with a conversation that God has with Moses, in which he basically releases the people of Israel to go into the land that he had promised their descendants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the land flowing with milk and honey. And he tells Moses, just go. But then he reveals news that leaves everyone in shock. He reveals the news that cuts right through their hearts. He says, but I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might just kill you along the way. I just may destroy you, everybody along the way. And it says that when the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn. So I want to start out with the first question. Are we mourning? Are we mourning? They mourned because they heard distressing words. God said, I will not go with you because you're stubborn, because you're rebellious. And at hearing God say that about them, they felt pain. They felt lamented. They cried. They felt sorrow. And let's talk about sorrow, because there is a short-lived sorrow, and then there is a sorrow that is lasting. There is a non-productive sorrow, and then there is a productive sorrow. You see, the short-lived sorrow is a worldly sorrow, and it is focused on self, not on God. It's being or feeling sorry only because I got caught. It's having regret only because I have to suffer consequences. It's being more concerned about what's going to happen to me rather than caring about others. It's saying I'm sorry and then repeating the same sin that you just said you were sorry for. See, worldly sorrow minimizes sin because it doesn't take it seriously. Worldly sorrow keeps you going through the motions. But the worst thing about worldly sorrow is that it pushes us away from God. It leads to guilt. It leads to depression. And it leads to condemnation. It leads to falsely believing that God will not forgive you and that you cannot come back to him. Worldly sorrow brings death. And in Matthew 27, the first 5 verses, we see an example of someone who felt that kind of sorrow. Because after betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, Judas felt sorrow, and he allowed that sorrow to consume him to the point of guilt, condemnation, and to the point of committing suicide. But the other kind of sorrow is godly sorrow. And that's when your heart aches because the Holy Spirit is nudging at your heart. And the Holy Spirit is letting you know something is wrong. Something is not right. He's letting you know that what you said was wrong. He's nudging you and letting you know that how you acted was wrong. and it's hurting you deep inside to the point where you begin to grieve, you begin to mourn, you begin to cry, not so much because you're afraid of the consequences, but because you know that it is hurting your relationship with God. Because you know that you are offending God. Because you know that you're not in the right place. Because you know that you're not in right relationship with God. And it is breaking your heart. And it creates a desperation inside of you. It creates an urgency within you. It's where your heart is crying out, something has to change. I cannot allow 2024 to pass and nothing changes in my life. I cannot keep going through the motions. I cannot be in the same old, same old. I need God. I need breakthrough. I need restoration. I need revival. And the people of Israel went into mourning. And they recognized, what good is it if God is saying, go, go, just go. Just go into the land. Go, go. I'm going to take care of your enemies. Go. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Go, enjoy. Enjoy the benefits of the land. And they recognized, what good is it if we enter this land and we enjoy all of the benefits, but we are not in the right place with God? What good is it if a man gains the whole world and all that it has to offer, and all the comfort, and all the pleasure, and all the applause, and all the recognition, and all the luxury, but at the end he loses his soul? Are we mourning because our relationship with God is not in the right place? Are we mourning because we're not where we should be? And it's that nudging. It doesn't matter what you do. It's that nudging. It's that conviction. That no matter if you're singing, that no matter if you're in church, no matter if your hands are raised, no matter if you're in Bible study, no matter if you're, it's that nudging. It's something telling you it's something is not right. Things need to be right. Are we mourning in urgency? Are we mourning over the brokenness around us? Are we mourning the brokenness in our relationships? Are we mourning over the brokenness in our communities? Are we mourning over the brokenness? Oh, dear God, here we go, another election year, and I'm just like, oh. Are we mourning the brokenness in our nation, in our government? Do our hearts break for those who are confused to the degree of not even being sure what gender they are? Are our hearts breaking for the lonely and the depressed and the discouraged people? I mentioned how Judas' sorrow led him to guilt and condemnation and suicide. But in contrast, the Bible describes the disciple Peter. He went through a sorrow that broke his heart when he denied knowing Jesus or even being associated with him in Luke chapter 22. And it says that when Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times, he went outside and he cried and he wept bitterly. And he wept bitterly not because he got caught, but because he looked at the face of Jesus, his friend, and he saw the look of pain in Jesus' face. He wept over the fact that he was not loyal to his Savior. He wept over the damage done to his relationship with Jesus. Because godly mourning, godly sorrow produces conviction. A conviction
that leads to repentance. And it says that when the people of Israel, when Moses said, God said for us to just go. And God says that he doesn't want anything to do with any of y'all because you guys are just impossible. It says that they mourned, but not only that, verse 6 says that the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. They removed their ornaments in their mourning. So my second question to you is, are we removing? Are we removing? The significance of removing their ornaments, all of their garb and their jewelry and all of that, the significance of that was an act of humility. The significance of that act was that it was confession. It was their way of saying, I cannot go on faking it anymore. I cannot go on like if my marriage is not falling apart, like if my family is not in disarray, like if I am not in trouble, I need to just stop acting like if nothing is wrong. They could not keep doing things for the sake of doing them. And sometimes we just have church and we go through the motions just for the sake of doing it. And the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us, come on, wake up. I've got so much more for you. I've got new experiences for you. I want to know you at a deeper level. I want you to know me at a deeper level. What are we removing? Are we removing the lies? Are we removing the religious facades? Are we removing the hypocrisy? Are we removing the bad habits? Are we removing the attitudes? Are we removing the complaining and the resentment and the worry? Because once you get used to going through the motions, we do not realize that we are drifting away from God. And that is why at one point God said about the Israelites, they have awesome worship, they have awesome instruments, and I can hear them clapping, and I can see them dancing, but their hearts are far away from me. Hebrews 12:1 says, throw off everything, get rid of it. Everything that hinders the sin that so easily entangles. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all the bitterness. Get rid of all the rage. Get rid of the anger. Get rid of the harsh words. Get rid of the slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Are we stripping away those things that are detaining us? Are we stripping away those things that hold us back? Because this is not just to have a time of revival. This is to take advantage of this time. Just like many churches enter into either a week of prayer or 21 days of prayer every January. And it's like we tell our church, this is not just something because we're doing 21 days of prayer. This is so that we can stop and reflect and meditate and ask ourselves, where am I with God? What things do I need to get rid of? What things have gotten in the way? What things are blocking the presence of the Holy Spirit to be made manifest in my life? Because repentance is confession and change. A change in our emotions. Our emotions can play tricks on us. Our emotions can be very deceiving. And sometimes we have to say, God, I give you these emotions that I myself don't even understand. Do you ever have moments like that you don't even know why you feel the way you do? You can't even articulate or explain why you feel the way you do, but you're just like, I just feel a certain kind of way, and I don't know. It is a change, not only in our emotions, but repentance is also a change of mind. Jesus and the New Testament writers use the Greek word metanoia to describe this type of repentance. It literally means to think differently. And some of us need to change our way of thinking. Some of us in this month of January and in this year 2024, it is time to change your way of thinking. It is time to let the power of God renew your mind and renew your thought patterns. It is time to say, I cannot keep thinking this way. This perspective, this mindset is hurting me. It is a change of mindset, of perspective. It is to change to a mind that sees and reasons and interprets life and all of its experiences through the lenses of Scripture. It is changing a mindset, to a mind that is intentional on focusing on the things above. To a mind that is intentional and guards what you're feeding your mind. Because whatever you feed your mind will determine the type of philosophy and mindset and interpretation of life. So changing my mindset has to do with being intentional. What am I allowing to flow in? What am I allowing to come in? Because when we're spiritually minded, we will experience the true life lived in Christ. See, repentance is not just a change of emotions or a change of mind, but repentance is also a change in our actions. Listen, it's not just about don't do it. And unfortunately, sometimes the Pentecostal church, we're really good at saying don't do this and don't do that. And we've got our long list. Don't sin, wrong. But tell me, it's not just tell me what not to do. Tell me what to do instead. Tell me what good habits can replace old ones, can replace bad ones. It's living out our faith. It's like the young man was saying, it's allowing my Sunday to go into my Monday, to go into my Tuesday and my Wednesday and my Thursday and my Friday and my Saturday. It is living out our faith. What we sing about, what we hear, what we declare, what we read, what we study, it is living it out day to day. At the job, at our schools, in our careers, on our business trips. It is living out through how you act and how you react. It's living out God's word, even when no one is looking. And that's called integrity. See, because godly sorrow does not lead to condemnation. It does not lead to guilt or defeat or death. No, no. Godly sorrow brings change. It brings freedom. It brings victory. It brings strength. It brings joy. It brings fruit. 2 Corinthians 7:10 puts it like this. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. And it reiterates, but worldly sorrow brings death. See, the people of Israel, they mourned. Not only mourning, because it can't stop at just crying at the altar. And again, sometimes in moments of God's presence or move, sometimes a really good worship song, it'll get you to crying. Oh, believe me, it'll get you to crying. It'll get you to be moved. It will get you to come up and just be crying, but it cannot stop with the crying. It's got to transition over into removing, making the changes, stripping away, stripping off. And the people of Israel, it says that they not only mourned, they removed, and finally Moses expresses the desire for the one thing that will make all the difference: God's presence. So my third question to you is, are we desiring? Are we desiring? Are we resolved? In verse 16, Moses asked the Lord, "How will anyone know? What will distinguish? What's going to make us different from all the other people on the face of the earth?" Because Moses knew that the difference, church, does not lie in how popular we are. Moses knew that the difference did not lie in how popular they were, because by now everybody knew about Israel. By now Israel had already made a name for themselves. But the difference is not in the name that we make for ourselves. Moses knew the difference did not lie in the glories of the past. God had done amazing, mighty, powerful miracles in their midst before Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and it culminated to the greatest miracle. He opened up the Red Sea and they walked on dry land, but that was not enough. Church, the glories of the past are not enough. The move of the Spirit in 2023 is not enough. The move of the Spirit 5 years ago over your life is not enough. The amazing experiences that you experienced in a camp or a retreat last year, whenever, it's not enough. And Moses knew, we have seen the supernatural hand of God do miracles. And yet he said, that's not going to make a difference. You see, Moses knew that the difference did not lie in all of the things that they could acquire. Imagine, God was saying, just take it. I'm going to fulfill my word, okay? I told Abraham, I told Isaac, I told Jacob, I told them I was going to give them this land. I told them I was going to take care of their enemies. Go. You can have everything. See, all the wonderful things that we can ever acquire in life or ministry will not make the difference. Because the difference does not lie in who we are. The difference does not lie in how long you've been a Christian. And I remember back in the day and when this church was established, and I remember I was 5 and I've been here for 40 years. Da, 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 that it does not make a difference. The difference does not lie in what we have or what we've done. The difference does not lie in where we've been or what we can do. The difference does not lie in how good we look. And unfortunately, sometimes we get so focused on the image. We get so focused on how does everybody else do it and how does everybody else look. Don't get focused on image, because image alone will not make the difference, church. It does not lie in our talents. There are amazing talents. So many people with amazing talents. I can name so many people with amazing talents, but there is something missing. The difference does not lie in facilities. There are many amazing, wonderful organizations with incredible facilities, but something is missing. The difference does not lie in good works, because many people are doing tremendous charitable work all around the world. Church, the difference lies in the presence of God. The difference is the presence of God. The difference will always be the presence of God. 20 years from now, the difference will always be the presence of God. If God tarries 100 years from now, the difference will always be the presence of God. The one thing that is going to distinguish them from everyone else. The one thing that was going to make the difference. The one thing that was going to make them different from everyone else. The one thing that was going to make them influential over everyone else. The one thing that was going to make them effective. The one thing that was going to make them victorious was the presence of God. And Moses knew it. See, it was the person of God. Because when we say presence of God, we mean the person of God. When we say presence of God, we mean the nearness of God. And see, every time that we read about the presence of God in Scripture, we will see that where the presence of God is, there is power. We will see that where the presence of God is, there is strength. Where the presence of God is, there is immediate help. Help. That's why David said, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Immediate help. Every time we see the presence of God in Scripture, we're going to see that there is favor, there is grace, there is direction, there is goodness. Again, the psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. Because the presence of God, the presence of the Almighty brings goodness, brings mercy, brings compassion. Every time you see the presence of God in Scripture, you're going to see forgiveness. You're going to see second chances. One of my favorite yet saddest stories in the Old Testament was Samson, because he lost the presence of God. Because I love what somebody said. Sometimes we think we could do it. We think we can handle it. We make jokes. Don't be so fanatical, right? You're exaggerating. That church stuff is getting to you already. And he thought he could handle it, and he lost the presence of God. But when we see the presence of God, we see forgiveness and we see second chances. And there he is in the midst of his enemies. And they are parading him. They are making fun of him. They are belittling him. They are scorning him. They are mocking God. And I love it. I love it, but it's so sad. And he says, God, his eyes were out of his sockets and his hair had grown back. And there he is. And he says, God, God, one more time. God. And it says that right there and then, the presence of God came over Samson. Because God is a God of second, third, fourth, multiple opportunities and chances. And the presence of God, there is forgiveness. There is mercy. When we see the presence of God in Scripture, we see that there is glory. Do you remember the dedication of the temple in 2 Chronicles? The temple got dedicated, and it says that the presence of God, when's the last time any church has experienced that? The presence of God was so thick and heavy that a cloud, a Shekinah glory of God filled that house. God Almighty, we need that again, church. And our text directly tells us one more thing here. In verse 14, it says that the Lord replied to Moses, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.
Because where the presence of the Lord is, there's not just power and strength and forgiveness and mercy and compassion and grace, but there is also rest. Thank God. How many of you thank God for that rest in the midst of the anxiety and the worry and the stress and the problems and the battles and the storms? We can enter into God's rest. And Moses was resolved that they needed the presence of God. That would make all the difference. And let me tell you something. I have seen very educated, very lofty, very articulate and elaborate speakers. And I have seen them come up and I have seen them exhibit such knowledge. But as I traveled to other countries, I have also seen people with limited education. And I have seen how the presence of God over that one speaker has made all the difference for the glory of God to descend and the Holy Spirit to be manifested. See, because that's what makes the difference. Moses was resolved that they needed the presence of God, that it was useless without the presence of God. That nothing else mattered without the presence of God. That they were sure to be trapped in vicious cycles without the presence of God. He resolved that he would not embark on any new adventure, any decision or any plans. He would not take another step. And he said it. He says, we will not. He says in verse 13, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. We're not moving. Are we desiring God's presence in that way? Asaph wrote in Psalm 73, I desire you more than anything on earth. Wow. In John 6, when many of Jesus' disciples left him and turned away from him, Jesus asked his disciples, you guys going to leave too? You know what Peter responded? It echoes Moses' sentiment. Where else are we going to go? I love it. Where else are we going to go? We don't have anything else. We don't want anything else. And then he says, you have the words that give eternal life. You have the power to heal and to deliver. You have the power, my God, that I'm looking for, that I need in my life. You're it. Are we resolved not to leave? Are we resolved? In the book of Genesis, chapter 32, tells us another story of someone who was resolved not to leave. It was Jacob. And it says that he engaged in the struggle of his life. I don't know how many of you have had struggles, that they have been the struggles of your life, that you've never gone through anything like that. You've never thought you were ever going to go through anything like that. And it has become the struggle of your life. And he was seeking God's breakthrough in his life in one of the darkest times in his life. And he struggles with God. He physically struggles with God for his breakthrough and his blessing and his solution and his answer. And in this long, strenuous, painful struggle, God tells Jacob, let me go. And his response resembles what Moses expressed. I will not let you go. I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go until something happens. I will not let you go until something changes. I will not let you go until, my God, I experience some kind of breakthrough in my life. I will not let you go until I feel and I sense the presence of your Holy Spirit over my life. Wow. Are we resolved not to take another step this year without his presence as a church, as a family, as young people? Are we resolved to seek his presence? If you need a breakthrough, seek his presence. If you need healing,
seek his presence. If you need strength, seek his presence. If you need direction, seek his presence. If you need to be free of that thing that has you, just is dragging you down, seek his presence. If you need restoration, seek his presence. If you need comfort, seek his presence. Church, God makes us an invitation today and every day. And God speaks to us the same words he spoke to Moses. And he speaks them in Matthew 11:28. Come. Come to me. Come in relationship. Come in community. Come in communion. Come in my presence. All who are weary. That means everybody who's fed up. Have you ever felt fed up? Have you ever felt tired? All who are weary, tired, fed up, frustrated, overwhelmed. All who are carrying heavy burdens. Because I used to think long time ago that Christians are always in this la-la land phase. And how many of you know then life happens? Huh? Then you face unexpected things, whether with your health, whether with your marital relationship, whether with your children, your career, your plans. Extended family. There's just so many things that happen in life. Amen. Amen. There's things that you just, it happens. We all carry burdens. We do. But God says, come. Come in my presence. Come in my fellowship. Come in my very presence. Come, feel my nearness. And let me give you peace. Let me give you rest. Let me give you a peace that you're going through hell itself. But you can be in this perfect peace and still worship. And people be like, what is going on? I don't know how you're doing what you're doing. And your response is, I don't know how I'm doing what I'm doing either. But I know that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is happening in my life. You see, conviction, repentance, and resolve will result in God's presence in our lives. I'm going to say that again. Conviction, repentance, and resolve will result in God's presence in our lives, because it's the presence of God that brings conviction. It's the presence of God that brings repentance. And it is the presence of God that brings revival. And that will make all the difference. And I know that sometimes we get busy, life gets busy. Ask Martha. We all need to be like Martha. We got things to do. Come on, we got things to do. Hello? There's things to be done. No one's going to do them. We don't have a genie at home that can blink three times and it's going to happen. We have things to do. But please don't forget that all you need is the presence of God in your life. And that's why when Mary was at Jesus' feet and Martha was complaining about all that she had to do, Jesus responds to Mary, 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 I mean, and Martha, 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 you're getting caught up in life. You're getting caught up with everything that is temporary. And you're missing the best part. And your sister, she's getting it. She's getting that all she needs is the presence of God. So as you stand with me this evening, and you just listen, God wants to do something here today. He does. So just meditate on him. Listen, God is calling you. He's calling you out. He's calling us out. Jesus, Jesus. I feel the presence of the Lord is in this place. But let his presence cause us to change. Let his presence cause us not just to to change temporarily, but to change producing fruit. Let his presence come in. Oh, and let it sweep over your soul and give you the rest. Give you the rest. I know there's weary people here. I know. I know there's people going through some stuff. And it's day after day, and it's year after year, and it's month after month, and you're wondering when. You're wondering when. But God says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I want to open up this altar. What are you needing from God today? Come on up. Let's pray together. What are you needing? Are you needing healing in your body? Are you needing a breakthrough? Are you needing a miracle? Are you needing an answer from God? Are you needing direction? Are you needing deliverance? Are you needing comfort because you've just lost somebody so dear to you? Are you needing power? Are you needing strength? Come on, come on. Come to this altar. Come on, let's be like the people of Israel. Let's be like the people of Israel that united. They came as a people. And let's come up as a church and say, God, as a church, we recognize we need you. We recognize, my God, that you make all the difference. And we want your presence in our lives. We want your presence in our lives. God, give us sensitive hearts. Make us sensitive, Lord. Let us cry for what makes you cry. Let our hearts be broken for what breaks your heart, my God. Jesus, let us mourn, my God, in urgency. Let us mourn in urgency. Father God, let us just remove what needs to be removed by the power and your strength, Lord Jesus. Let us strip away everything that's wanting to hold us back for so long in the name of Jesus. I know chains are falling. I know that the Spirit of God is here renewing. He is renewing. He is renewing. Oh, the chains fall, the chains break, the heaviness is lifted, the oppression is lifted, the oppression is broken in the name of Jesus. Renewal comes, revival comes, oh, change comes, freedom comes, transformation comes, healing comes, salvation comes, renewal comes in the name of Jesus. Your miracle is in the degree of your faith and your trust and your willingness to wait upon him. But let's be like Jacob. Let's be like Jacob today. Let's say, God, I ain't gonna leave you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you, God. I need a breakthrough. As the worship team continues to usher in the presence of God with worship, come on, I invite you to come to this altar. Jesus, come on, let's just worship. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, he is moving in this place.
There is power.
He is moving in this place. The power of Jesus. The anointing of his Holy Spirit.
There is power.
The nearness of God. Oh, in your life,
Jesus.
Oh, in your life.
Oh,
he's doing it.
Break every chain.
He is doing it.
Break every trust.
His trust. His trust.
To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. And there's an army rising up. Yeah. There's an army rising up. Yeah. There is an army rising up. To break every chain.
To break every chain. break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Sense a healing anointing in the room right now. And there's something special that's happening even as we linger here in the presence of God. It's the presence of God that makes all the difference. So can we just linger for a few more moments? It's a Saturday night. You don't have anywhere to be. Who are you kidding? We're going to go home tonight. Going to get our rest, but for a few more moments, I just want us to just focus in on Jesus and let his presence wash over us like a balm. The prophet Jeremiah said, "Is there not a balm in Gilead?" The balm of Gilead, Jesus Christ himself poured out his blood for us. And so as we sing that again, let that blood just wash over you. Let the balm of Gilead do good for your soul tonight. Let it just begin to permeate your spirit. Would we just close our eyes? Tune in on the Lord. Worship team, sing whatever you want to sing. But let's just take another moment and let that healing presence wash over us. And if you have a need and you haven't been prayed for yet, there's still time. There's still time. So you make your way forward if you want to. But wherever you are, just tune in on the Lord for another moment.
Wash me, oh.
Father, we thank you for the miracles that took place tonight. God, we thank you for the fire that was released on us tonight. And God, we ask that you would continue to move. Would you continue to help us to walk out this message that we received tonight? Lord, let us carry your presence with us wherever we go. Father, we ask you for more. This is only the beginning. Come and move in us, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Tomorrow is Sunday morning. Be faithful to your house of worship. Make sure you're in church tomorrow morning, wherever that is for you. And then tomorrow night, 7 p.m., we're going to be right back here. We have another amazing speaker. Pat Schatzline will be with us. And if you appreciated the word that Pastor Lisa De Jesus brought tonight, would you just give her a big round of applause? Would you say thank God for Pastor Lisa? Thank you so much. Be safe going home tonight. God bless you. There is merchandise in the back. If you want a t-shirt, make sure you grab one before you leave. Oh, before I forget, I almost forgot an important order of business. Offering. God help me. If you want to sow into revival tonight, you can do that online. If you're watching online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. If you want to give by cash or check, you can make your way forward before you leave and just drop your offering in the buckets. If you're giving online, just give it to Kingdom Builders. We want to sow in the work of God.
Pastor Noli, let us share an announcement with you before we go tonight, too, for our women. Ladies, this is coming up for you real quickly. Pay attention for 60 seconds, would you?
Hey, Carpenter Shop ladies, I cannot wait to be with you on Saturday morning, February the 10th. We're going to have an amazing time together. Girl, get up. That's the message that I am going to be bringing to you. I cannot wait to see each of you. Invite someone that you know needs to be inspired for our time together. Ciao.
Hallelujah. Come on, take your QR code. If you want to register, you can do so before you leave tonight. She'll throw a QR code up there for you. Just hit that and just hit women's meeting. Or how's it listed on there, Pastor Noli? Women's Ministries. Just hit that on there. It's $10. Takes care of your meal. And there you go. I see people hitting that QR code already. So go ahead and do that. Listen, Pastor Lisa, thank you, thank you, thank you. How many of y'all got that refiner's fire message tonight? Come on. Amen. Just good. Just a refiner's fire. I thank God for them. Can we just pray for them as a couple? Would you guys please stand tonight? Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we reach out our hands to the De Jesus couple tonight, Lord. Father, we pray that as they arise early tomorrow, that their journey would not be challenging, but it would be refreshing. That as they travel back to Concord for tomorrow, Lord, that you would just give them a divine download, God. That you would just go before them, be their rear guard, be the glory and the lifter of their heads, Lord, as they travel. Sweet communication together, safety, nothing ahead of them that comes to be in harm's way. And Lord, we speak the peace of God over 12 years, Lord, of celebration tomorrow. In the strong name of Jesus, amen and amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. See Pastor Noli.